Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Building boundaries. 2 Corinthians. I made the statement about a month ago that we were going to begin a message series on the subject of marriage about the middle of May. And I kept trying to find how we could put all the Sundays together and there'd be no interruption, and it just didn't work, okay? And so what I'm doing, we're just going to start today. And there may be some holidays and some summer things get in the way, but we're going to start our study on marriage today, and we're going to start with building boundaries. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same I speak, as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do want to praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word and that we learn of you and know your will for our lives. I pray that you'll take your word this morning and that you'll just apply it to our lives. Give us insight, give us understanding, and give us willing hearts to receive your word as you present it. And Lord, help us to heed your word. I pray, Lord, for those in this service today who do not know you as their personal Savior, those who have never made a life commitment to you, Lord, I pray that today you will deal with them, convict them, and draw them to you. And Lord, give them the courage to commit their life to you today. We thank you for this privilege, and we glorify you as our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Building your boundaries. Today, we're not really going to get that deep into marriage. I just find it much safer, and most of you are pretty good at it anyway, right? Before we get in very deep into marriage, we're going to have to establish a starting place. And that's the idea today. Today, we're going to talk about building relationships. I mean, we all have boundaries. We all have standards, right? How many of you have standards? Well, that's what's wrong with a lot of you. You don't have standards. We all have standards. We all have boundaries. We all have things we have committed and decided. I will not allow this in my life. I won't do that, you know. And that's what I'm talking about when I say building your boundaries. And the first question I want to ask you today, because this is the first question. Paul knew as he made this statement that this was the first question that people are going to ask was, why should I listen to you? Why should you listen to this message this morning? Well, don't we make that choice all the time as we read God's Word? I mean, we have to decide, are we gonna listen? And Paul, he gives, in the text that we read, he tells them up front why you should listen. And first of all, verse 11, because they had spoken openly to you and our heart is wide open. Okay? Told them two things. His mouth was open and his heart was open. The idea of the mouth being open carries with it the idea of speaking the complete truth. Paul is saying to you, look, what I'm going to tell you is 100% truth from God. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to give you the whole thing as it comes from God. Then when he said his hearts were open, what he's saying there is very simply, I care enough to tell you the truth. He loved the Corinthians enough to tell them the truth. And that's no easy task, you know? I mean, you're going to have to make a decision this morning, you graduating seniors, you college students, you parents. You're going to have to make a decision this morning, will I listen? Well, as you make that decision, I want to challenge you with the fact that God has loved you enough to tell you the truth. Okay? He's honest with you. He's not trying to mess up your life. He's trying to help your life. Yeah? I mean, after all, isn't that what true love is? True love is honest, right? Sharing the truth. I know parents, you know, in raising kids. Do you love your children? Say amen. Don't you want to give your children everything you can give them? Sorry, kids. Guess not. I was pitching for you and parents weren't batting. I mean, seriously, don't you want to give your kids all you can give them? Amen. And I mean, I'm talking within reason, out of a heart of love. But you know, there are parents who won't be truthful with their children. There are parents who say, I don't want to influence my children. I want to let them make their own spiritual decisions. I don't want to teach them. What's up with that? I mean, really, isn't it our job as parents to instruct our children? You know, if you love your children, don't you want them to spend eternity in heaven with you? And you do that by telling them the truth. I know parents, and this just slays me, okay? Have you ever heard parents say, well, if my kid's going to do something like drinking, I want them to bring it home and do it here so they don't get hurt by doing it somewhere else. I love you, but that's just idiotic. Okay? Don't put your stamp of approval. Teach them, care for them enough to say, don't do these things. That's not love. That's just you're trying to win a popularity contest among kids. You know? Don't do that. Teach them. If you care for them, love them enough to tell them the truth. Your friends. Do you love your friends enough to be truthful? Yeah, care enough to tell them the truth even when they don't want to hear the truth. You know? And that's tough. That's tough love. Friendship kind of, you know. But I've watched people, literally I've saw people in marriages, you know, they'll go to their friend and say, well, my husband's doing this and he's doing that. And I just don't know how longer I can put up with that. And you know what the friend says? The friend says, well, you just need to leave him. No. That's dumb. Okay, what does God's word say about it? You know, and the two shall be one flesh. You're supposed to love them enough to help them through that rough spot in their marriage, not tell them what they want to hear. That's what God is doing here. You know, the first point I want you to get to this message is that God cares enough for you to tell you the truth about building a relationship. Okay? This isn't something that you just should dismiss. This isn't something that you should say, well, I don't have to listen and that's just the preacher's trying to control my life. And no, get this. The reason you should listen is because God loves you and He's trying to make your life worth living. Now, you open your heart to what God says. Does it make sense? See, that's what Paul's saying. there in verse 13, now in return for the same, you also be open. Have you ever heard parents, have you ever heard your kids say, you're just trying to run my life? Let me hear an amen. Come on. That's not the idea here. Okay? Verse 12, Paul said, you're not being restrained by us, but you're being restrained by your own affection. Okay? Paul's saying, if you don't listen to what I'm about to tell you, you're going to spend a lifetime being restrained in your walk with God. And it's not going to be Paul's fault. It's not going to be God's fault. It's going to be your fault because you refused to listen. Okay? So are you ready? Are you ready to listen? Say amen. Now see, I want the younger unmarrieds to get this. Okay? So, and I want the parents to get this so they can tell their children. All right? We're ready for Paul's instruction. Now we know why we need to listen, because God cares enough to tell us the truth. Here's what we need to listen to. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unequally yoked. You know what that means? I don't, you know, a lot of kids today may not know what a yoke is. When you pulled, or when you would plow in the old days, you would yoke a team of oxen together. Or a team of mules together. Okay? And what this is referring to, this is actual reference to Deuteronomy 21, where it says, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey. Why? Why? Well, because the ox is going to pull one way and the donkey is going to pull another way. Just makes sense, right? Okay. In building a relationship, you need to establish your rules for who you are, so that you know who you want to be a part of your life, so that you will pull in the same direction as you go through this life. Does that make sense to you? Say amen if that makes sense. Okay? The thing is, Paul is saying, don't be yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because an unbeliever is going in a completely different direction than you as a child of God are going in. Okay? Unbelievers they're living for this world. And I'll tell you what, let's define what an unbeliever is, okay? All right, let's get this. What is an unbeliever? Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. It's very popular today to say, I'm a Christian. Okay? I mean, you ask people if they're saved, they'll say, you bet, I'm saved. Here's the thing. Look at how they live. Okay? If you're a child of God, you can't live like the devil. Right? So as you're establishing who you're willing to go into a relationship with, and you ask them, well, are you a child of God? Why, yes, I'm a child of God. Yet every Friday night they party, Saturday night they party, they do anything they're big enough to do. I challenge you to question. Okay? Take a look and don't accept what they say, accept what they are. Okay? Do they party? Do they attend church? How do they talk? What are they when they're with other people? You know? Take a look at what they really are, because the talk is one thing and the walk is completely another. Okay? And I've been to Brother Doug, he's saved. Is he? Is he living like he's a child of God? I mean, we as children of God, we have accepted the heavenly things and rejected the worldly things. Amen? We have standards in our lives, standards of conduct that we believe God expects from us. And if a person says, oh yeah, I'm saved, and has no standards and appropriate conduct, he is either a liar or he is out of the will of God. Okay? Brother Doug, that's harsh. I know. But it's the truth. Okay? We should have standards before we start even allowing people to get close in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. We can be friends to those who are lost from the perspective of trying to win them to Christ, and we should. Amen? Okay? The world needs to see the love of God, but I'm talking about establishing a relationship. Here's what you need to do. You need to establish your prerequisites. All right? This is what's acceptable. I mean, before you date, before you do anything, you need to establish what you are and what's acceptable. I've been told by young people before, and it kind of makes me smile. Oh, we're just dating. It's not serious. You know what dating is? Dating's a test drive for marriage. Okay? I mean, you're shopping. When you're old enough to date, you're shopping. And if you date the wrong person, first thing you know, you have drawn close to them, and you kind of like them, and you're in that relationship. Okay? Don't ever let it start. Okay? Don't even just establish your priorities, your prerequisites, saying, okay, if you're going to party, and girls, here's the deal. Okay? Girl, put your foot down. You tell a guy if he's going to drink, he needs to stay away from you, period. Well, he don't do it around me, Brother Doug. It don't matter, okay? Because there will come a point where he will do it around you. And I've watched young teenage girls be beaten by their drunk boyfriend, which I think, I have no respect for a guy that'll hit a girl. I'm from the old school. I know some good old boys. We could take him down on the White River and near Des Arc, and we'd fix him where he'd never hit another woman. Listen, girls, don't buy the line, well, I just won't do it around you. It will turn up around you. Okay? Don't accept it. Parents, teach your children that they're supposed to have standards other than, oh, he's good looking. Satan was a beautiful creature too. You know that? Oh, he's handsome. And not just he's, the she's. Establish your prerequisites as a child of God. And if they don't match with what you are as a child of God, do not yoke up with them. Okay? Because you're going to be pulling in completely different directions. You say, Brother Doug, I'm already married and I'm married to a lost person. I don't know what... Okay, that's a whole different message. We're in the getting started right now, okay? Okay, we'll get to that later. But you have to understand, as children of God, what happens is when we attach ourselves to unbelievers is they have a tendency to pull us in a wrong direction. Paul asked the question, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Fellowship, that word fellowship means partnership. What partnership can a righteous person establish with an unrighteous person? There's nothing in common. What communion, it says, has light with darkness? That word communion means contribution. As you look for this person, that you're going to date or that you're going to establish a relationship with you, ask yourself the question, what contribution can darkness make to light? None. None. What accord has Christ with Belial? The word accord means harmony, agreement. What agreement has Jesus Christ with Satan is what it literally says. There is none. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? That word agreement means a mutual agreement. God does, you know, we talk about being children of God. That means He's our Heavenly Father. That means He is our God. He is first place in our life. And you know what? God doesn't share first place. Okay? So how can there be harmony between the child of God who has supposedly made God first and a child of the devil who could care less about God? There can be no harmony. See, and I love verse 16 here. Because here's God's desire for your life, okay? Here's what God wants. He says, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God." Here's the relationship. You're the child of God. You've given God your life and He moved in. Okay? And He lives in here, and you know that wherever you go, whatever you do, God is always there. You take Him wherever you go. And that relationship is supposed to be one of intimacy and closeness with God. And you should not allow anything to mess that relationship up. Okay? Not a good-looking guy, not a good-looking girl. Not an attractive person. That has to be the priority. That's why God in verse 17, He makes a demand. And you've got to ask yourself the question, why do I listen? Okay, because this is God speaking, verse 17. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not enter that relationship to begin with." And you have to understand, and I know, okay? You have to understand I'm coming from the preacher's viewpoint, and I've seen a lot of junk in my life. I've seen a saved lady who married a lost man who got mad at her for going to church and literally locked her out of the house, would not let her in, so she had to sleep in the car overnight. You know? I've seen marriages where saved ladies would come to me and say, "Oh, Brother Doug, you know, I'm sorry I missed church this week, but my husband, he just wanted to go out of town, and I know we go out of town about every week, but I feel I need to be with him." And I want to say, what about God? These relationships, listen, relationships you build, and I'm talking about close relationships, will either encourage and enhance your relationship with God, or they will drag you away from God. And you can trust me, life being drug away from God is not a good life. Build your boundaries. God's demand here, come out from among them. Establish yourself right here, right now, today. This is what is acceptable. This is not acceptable. In layman's term, build your fence. Put up your posted signs. And keep God, God. If you want to build a relationship, a successful marriage relationship, it has to start on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Okay? It has to. All other foundations are shifting sands. And see what happens? Verse 18. When we get it right, and we partner with other believers who have God in first place, here's what happens. I will be there. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I want to tell you something. Being a father, that's special. I still, biggest fight that Beth and I ever had was over her father. Because she said, I'll go see if my daddy can take care of this. And we had been married about 6 months. And I thought, who's your daddy? I'm the man of this house. You know? Since then, I've learned that I'm not half the man her father is, you know? But there's something special about that father relationship. Okay? I mean, and that's what God wants to give you. Living on the inside, up close, personal, providing your every need. He being your number one and you being His love and His child. Do not let an unbeliever disrupt that relationship. You may be here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friends, I want to share with you. There's nothing like the Heavenly Father. Life may be bad, but guess what? It don't matter how much trouble there is. The trouble is never greater than my Heavenly Father who created this universe. And I have the promise of God's Word that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's there. Yes, I stumble. Yes, I make my mistakes along the way. But He's always my Heavenly Father. Are you a child of God? If not, I share with you today, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth and gave His life for you. He died for your sins so that you could have a relationship with Him. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You, right where you are right now, can bow your head and pray, Lord, Jesus, I know You're the Son of God. I know You paid for my sin on the cross of Calvary. Lord, save me. And right where you sit, you can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Why not do that today as we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for the wisdom that's contained in Your Word. And it's so often, Lord, we disregard and we don't listen. But Lord, I know, we know that the reason You gave us instruction is because You care. It's because You love us. Help us to be wise as Your children, and take to heart the relationships in which we enter. Father, not only marriage relationships, but just the daily relationships in this life. Lord, yes, we want to win the lost. And we pray that You'd open up doors of opportunity for us to do that. But we also, we want to be separate from the viewpoint of that You are our God. And we are Your children. Father, I pray that Your will be done in this invitation in Jesus' name.